Egg corn. Hmm. So Serengeti's the favorite. Rightfully so. You have two horses that are going to be bet that are, one's coming off a maiden race of Chad, and Mike McCarthy's coming in from the West Coast with a fast one, CC, on the outside. I'm going to try to beat everybody and play around with some gimmicks and boxing and things like that with Belds the One. That's going to be my long shot horse that hopefully I can get into the exacta. And I don't know if she could win it, but she's going to be my bomber that gets me paid.
It's funny. She's a horse that we root for Neil Pessin largely. And by the way, there may not be a better restaurant
critic
compass in all of New Orleans than Neil Pessin. Very bad week for New Orleans. Dr. John last night, yesterday, and Leah Chase, Dookie Chase, from Dookie Chase's. Passed away on Sunday, over the weekend, I believe. And
Queenie Creole.
Very, very influential. Not just an influential chef, but an important figure in the civil rights movement, where much of the strategy for the fight for civil rights took place at the restaurant, at Dookie Chase. And obviously Dr. John, just an absolute legend and titan. So thoughts to everybody in New Orleans who take things like this seriously. Belle's the one that I like that. I like you reaching for her because let's face it. What would break even be in this race if she came over, if she had run? Brad Cox.
She'd
be
right
one of the choices,
there,
right?
First, second choice. And that alone is reason enough to give her a shot.
I think she's going to move forward. It was a sloppy race last time, but she kind of paired up her number on the sheets on the fast tracks as well as the slop. I think she's going in the right direction, and maybe she could slop it up a little bit. And if I get really lucky, she'll be in the top end of the exact, and then then we're really in good shape.
Once again, I think this is one of those races that if you're betting the gimmicks, you got to
spread.
You got to spread, or you know, if you don't like the favorite, don't throw her in. Get her out of there. I got another 20-1 in there. I'm going to look at it. It's from California Horse Proud Emma. Same type of deal. I'm going back to the Gazelle turn back. Once again, tossing the slop out last time. So I like her a little bit. CeCe, I think is the real deal. You don't see, Michael McCarthy. We just saw him in the kitchen. He was very happy to be here with this filly, and you don't see them travel too much with off two races unless you're you don't want to come across country and just to say you were there. So those two. And then the 8 horse, Abreu's horse, Queen of Bees. I liked her a little bit last time. And once again, I'm going to toss the slop. I think she didn't run bad. She was running at the end a little bit. And once again, if it gets a little hot up there, I think Queen of Bees is going to be another one that I'm going to use. But I'm really, if you're going to go these next two races, it's going to be the Acorn and the Woody. Maybe we'll get a price at. And I think you got to take a shot at them.
And, I do want to say one thing, and I suppose Cookie Dough's presence adds to the difficulty factor for Serengeti. However, and you do have Proud Emma putting on blinkers.
You have Chad's or the
we haven't even talked about Guarana.
That's what I'm saying. Could get a little heated up there.
This horse ran as impressive as you could. Granted, it was in the slop and the horse was supposed to love it, but it was bet down to whatever 8-5 or something like that first time out.
Well,
won by 14.
My one proviso on all this: the last time Serengeti Empress ran one turn, that was when? It was at the at Ellis?
At Ellis Park.
At Ellis.
Excuse us, there's a little food transaction going on back here behind the scenes.
That was Jay's Bagel. She won by 13 lengths.
Right.
Hey, look, and then she went on to win by 19. And we've talked.
She's horses the greatest stake winner, right?
Horses that win by that margin are nice, nice horses. And she went out to prove that in the Kentucky Oaks. But, you know,
she should be the favorite. I mean, she deserves it. So. Yep, yep. But we'll try to beat her. As all famous gamblers last
Well, she's second choice. She is second choice. I mean, with Guarana, Guarana's 2-1. And she's 5-2.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah, and a horse that just broke its maiden. Granted,
in the slop.
Granted. All that fast stuff.
All right.
Ran a freaky number. Ran a zero on the sheets. But anyway, we'll see what happens. There.
Another heavy favorite on the day, of course, the presence of
World of
Trouble, who is just, I mean, maybe Mike Dubb is right. and that he is better on the turf. However, Disco Partner is going for a third straight in this race as well and has to be respected, but I know a lot of people are going to lean heavily on World of Trouble.
You know, I think that horse is, at some point, I think you just have to raise your hands and say, Uncle, this horse is the real
deal. If you've been betting him all along.
Yeah, right. No, exactly. True. But if you're betting them all along at 20 cents to a dollar and 30 cents to a dollar, well, I hope you're hitting, you know, multi-race
of
bets.
Of course.
But, yeah, that horse is certainly the one to beat. What is the Peter Miller horse coming in?
The filly.
Yeah,
Belvoir
yeah.
Bay.
Yes. That'll be...
5-1.
Yep. But I don't think they beat World of Trouble.
I was one of the ones that wasn't a believer in World of Trouble. Kept trying to beat him, and I think I'm throwing in the towel. You know, if you look at some of the old war horses that are in there, you know, Undrafted is all of a sudden 9, Ohm 7, you know, even Disco Partner 7, and you know, somewhere along the line they're losing a step, and I don't think they're quite as fashionable as they used to be. Now, Belvoir Bay is the real deal. She's beaten the boys before. She's gone this far, albeit downhill some of the ways. Now, didn't this race used to be 7 furlongs? I keep.
It was.
In my head, it's
it
still
was.
7 furlongs. I have to keep going back. So 6 furlongs fits Belvoir Bay a little bit. So she's going to be up there tugging along. So I think it's those two.
I view Ohm as like a bolo, like you look at that horse that Carla won with the other day, after won its first grade one. And I used to bet Ohm along the way. And, again, I think World of Trouble is by leaps and bounds the best of the bunch. But my bolo angle, I'll throw Ohm in there underneath.
Very fair.
Ohm's a solid, always tries. If this was 7 furlongs, I'd like it. If it was 6.5 down the hill, I'd love it. But the 6 furlongs, I don't know if that does something. But you know what? He may come flying at the end and do it.
Yep. What else? We have another grade one somewhere, right?
The Phipps. And the Just a Game. But the Phipps, obviously, Midnight Bisou. And the question is, I saw Carlos Martin this morning, and I've not had a chance. We
come dancing?
Yeah, we have not had a chance to talk about her since her emergence. But it's an amazing story. And, you know, she's going to try... You know, a route of ground, and of course, you know, the proviso always here in New York is that, you know, the mile and the 16th, the mile and the 8th, I mean, these are all one turns. So it's a little unique. And so from that standpoint, it does play into, you know, the hands of a, and I don't want to call her a sprinter per se, because she's made, you know, the mile and the 8th and, you know, the mile and the 16th in the Royal Delta win going back to September. But, you know, she's been going shorter, a little shorter, and, you know, she's going to have Midnight Bisou basically parked on her. And I suppose that Pacific Wind is mildly interesting. Then there's the whole Don Schnell story, which is wonderful. Escape Clause, who literally came from the provinces and has just been climbing the ladder nonstop and absolutely deserves a chance in a spot like this.
No question. I mean, off that last try and just getting nailed by Jeff's horse, Midnight Bijou, the price is going to inch up. She doesn't get, you know, she's not going to get the respects again like she didn't last time. And they're going to load up on Midnight Bijou and probably the local horse Come Dancing. And if you get, we might get 5-1 on Escape Clause. I might take a shot at that on the win end. But Midnight Bijou, let's face it, she's, what's her record at this distance? 7-7. I don't know how many of those, and probably none of those are one turns, but you know what? She has shown a little bit more keenness to go to be there early than she used to, and she doesn't have to make that one long run. I mean, look, she can go in a long, in a, you know, a drive for a while. She's a nice one. She's tough, and then you know,
come dancing's on the front end, right?
Yeah.
And got to catch her. So, and she's super fast. I you know, I'm rooting for them. Homebred. It's nice to see. You know. Nice to see Carlos have a little success too.
And it's nice when you can just lead him over.
Yep.
And you know, run for this kind of money, and she's getting good at the right time.
And of course, we talked all week, knowing what this field was going to look like. That, you know, the distaff division is a little hurting right now, and with Monomoy Girl on the shelf, with no timetable either. You can expect, I suppose, you know, Brad Cox will have her back for the second half at some point. Late is running next week in the Fleur de Lis, and doesn't seem like she's the same mare, etc. Wonder Godot retired right on these airwaves.
Yeah, right.
And so,
as you know, this is tends to be the weakest division of all of them, the fillies and mares long on the dirt. And we've had, for the last, as long as I can remember, we've always had that one. Whether it's Unique Bella or Beholder or Songbird or Zenyatta, there's always been that one that kind of, you know, everyone ran away from. So, as you mentioned, with not too many left, I'm surprised there's only five in here, because there isn't that super, super star. So,
700,000, and
that's a lot of money.
Grade one.
Grade one, you hit the board, graded stakes place. That
exactly.
Means a lot to the breeders.
Exactly right. Exactly right. Let's talk about the grade one Justin Game. And of course, the first of the day's graded stakes, it goes off at 122. The Easy Goer is the first stake of the whole day, and that goes at 1247. But this is a fun race. Saw Nick Cassato earlier, and I'm sorry, you saw
Nick. We saw him in the kitchen.
Very nice. And this is an entertaining race. Rushing Fall, deserving 4-5. We get that. However, this is a very good field. All seven of these are serious race fillies and mares on the going the mile on the grass, and I don't fault any combination people want to put together in the Justy Game. Jimmy,
Rushing Falls, actually, you know, the 4-5 shot is the obvious one, but I'm going to take a shot with Mark Cassie. Got Stormy running well. Why not? I think the horse has a real shot to win this thing. And Brad Cox's horse, Beau Recall, is really strong. Again, I have a lot of respect for Rushing Falls. I think that, you know, for all the reasons, you look at the form, you see the grade ones. She's been beat once in her life. She should be, you know, the odds-on favorite there, but if you're going to try to beat her with either the three or the seven, which is Beau Recall and Got Stormy.
Well, just have to look back to yesterday in a similar scenario with
newspaper
of record, and, you know, kind of the same deal.
Yep.
Should win, throw the race away, let's build around it. But I think, like you said, there's a couple in here that can win. I'm looking at the horse on the rail. Daddy is a legend from George Weaver barn. I think the race set him up last time. It ran a good one. Couple of these all ran together. I think there might be a chance for her to just do the right thing on the rail and have something left. And then Nick's horse, of course, Beau Recall, who just all of a sudden got good. We were kind of kidding around when he was just coming up. Is the race on here? The race isn't on there. He was just getting this filly going, and he was dying for a race down the hill. We made up some stake called the Black Pearl, I remember. Hey, don't worry about it. I put some race of the Black Pearl just to get him going, because he thought he was maybe going to be a sprinter. And next thing you know, the horse is, you know, running long and winning long. So the horse is in great shape right now, but Cox has done great. Ortiz on there. So a couple of horses to play around with the Rushing Fall deal. But at some point, you're going to have to pick which races you're going to single, which races you're going to spread on. This might be a...
Or just go single, 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 and bet it for $100.
Nah, there's a lot. You know, the horse that came up yesterday, the environs of you know, of the other Chad. If you want to do the other, you know, that that
yeah.
song, the other Baffert, the other Chad, etc.
Who do you like?
I mean, what do I like? I'll probably
understood. But.
I haven't actually written up that portion of tomorrow. I looked more at the late half of the card because I had to do the 20-cent play. But there's, like I said, there's almost nobody in here that I can't see getting a board hit, and that includes, by the way, Kapla Temptress.
Oh, absolutely.
Who at a crazy, you know, I mean, she 20-1 as a win tote. Okay, I get it. But has every opportunity to pick up a check and hit a pay slot. And the same thing, frankly, for Belavez. You know, Daddy is a legend. I kind of thought that Churchill was the spot, and that was disappointing because she really had no excuse not to finish in there. So that bothers me. I got Stormy. I completely agree with, and I've been on that bandwagon quite a while. Had her, you know, as a include in the Jenny Wiley, and
right.
you know, in fact, I picked her second there, behind Rushing Fall. So that you know, I was able
she
to
runs
get her
every
the
race.
Yeah,
no, when you bet on her, you're going to get a couple calls. That you don't have to worry about
root.
That. Yeah, you can root, and she's a rooter. She loves the mile. You know, five out of nine, she's a winner. She's a doer.
Yeah.
Four, six, seven as the core. I mean, those are the three I'll use certainly as A's and multis.
You mentioned the first stake of the day, the easy goer, and again, it kicks, 12:47 post time. And if people, there are many people that you hear that absolutely love Tacitus and understandably in the Belmont. And if you do, you have Outshine, who ran second to him in the Tampa Bay Derby. So, but other than that, I think we're really going to focus on a little Belmont breakfast or brunch at Mr. Flay's. He gave us, I think it's a Mexican theme this year.
So a little chorizo and eggs.
I could tell you the menu. And Tara is going to finally get out. She had knee surgery about 8 weeks ago, so she's going to make it out to Belmont. But the Belmont brunch was tangerine tequila spritz, ranch-style eggs, red chili tomato sauce, crispy tortillas, avocado, black beans, white cheddar, cajeta cheese, and cilantro. Then we have a New Mexican chili with cumin-crusted home fries. Then we have blue corn and cinnamon waffles, Mexican chocolate crema, toasted hazelnuts.
Unbelievable.
Thick-cut bacon, smoked with chili and maple glaze, and then ricotta yogurt with caramelized mango, strawberries, gooseberries, granola, and honey. And then we're gonna roll ourselves to the track.
Exactly.
And I have to leave. I'm actually leaving at 6 o'clock because I can't make the Belmont. I have to go back to the city for a wedding.
Oh my God!
And one of
a Saturday night wedding.
And one of my
at the Waldorf.
One of the kids that works for me. I've known him since he was 8 years old. They were like, "You have to go to this thing." He's like your nephew. I'm like, if he was my nephew, we would never have the goddamn wedding on Belmont Day.
There's a few. I saw quite a few of those complaints online this week.
Oh, that's classic. And you know, as Jimmy reads off that extended list of food between going to Rao's and Sparks and wherever we end up tonight and the breakfast, I will have eaten a bigger variety of food than the rest of the 360 days of the year that I don't spend in New York. That's why I come here.
I love it. Well,
as always, buddy.
Thank
you.
You're
doing a great job. Thank you so much.
Thanks for everything.
Yep. No, it's always a lot of fun. And you have an on-deck circle.
We got Peter.
Pete's going to join
Ornatello
in a little bit.
Here. We got Grinnings. We got the Privmans are all waiting in line.
Well,
here.
We had Jay yesterday, actually. We got Jay's visit in yesterday. Dave Grinning was with us to start the whole week. But Paul Matisse is going to join us via the magic of telephone from upstate. We'll get Paul's thoughts. In fact, maybe actually Pete could probably jump in at that point, too, and listen in. Mike Beer is due here any moment as well from DRF. And so there's plenty more, and we have not taken a break, and nor do I sense we will be taking a break other than to swap out chairs.
So this is basically the Belmont for you. You have to go a mile and a half without a break.
Exactly, exactly.
I like that you're
it's not like he's
that.
Never done it before.
Well,
right?
And as always, he's meticulously dressed. Perfect dimple inside the knot of the tie.
That's important. Don't think that is not.
It's not an accident.
By the way.
Did you tie that? It's not one of
yeah.
those.
No, no clip on.
Is that a clip on? Is that a clip on?
As always, it's a blast.
Flounder.
Yes, that's right. Super fun.
Jimmy Ventura and Rick Hammerly, everybody, away they go. Jimmy, no Twitter, but. I will get a plug-in. You know, you mentioned OBS sale, and, of course, we've had 2 days of the Breeze shows.
Yep.
And a couple more, and then we'll start selling next week. I think, what, the 13th is day one?
Yeah, they have 1,200
head
that they're selling. And, look, it's the final two-year-old sale of the year, so if people still have money left over or they didn't get the ones bought, go down to OBS, say hello to my brother. And buy some horses.
We got our three-year-olds we got last year.
On the other end of that spectrum, I guess they Wednesday they had the sale at
right.
Santa Anita. They sold, I think, 69 horses.
Yep.
As a first-time shot out there for Fasig Tipton. So I wasn't there, so I don't know what the
went okay. It went okay. There's some early. It took quite a few the hips going through, but overall, Boyd Browning was more than satisfied with the introduction of it as a sale, and the two horses that actually we talked about, the two fastest workers, both going an eighth and going a quarter, they both were the sale toppers.
Bernardini and the Tapature.
Well, that's good.
So there will be another sale in September out there that they'll try. So that's the far end of the spectrum, and then you go to 1,200 horses at Ocala. So plenty of
something for everybody.
Yeah, and they right? sell. It's funny that June sale is kind of replacing the old April sale, but there's good ones that come out of there. So,
absolutely,
so head down there.
Jimmy, thank you.
Thank
Hammer,
you.
Thank you. Been
always
a great
a pleasure
week already.
To see you, and this is the highlight of the week, coming out and talking to you.
Oh, it's
now,
too kind.
Pete Fornatello's on deck, and I think we're going to be
Paul
talking
Matisse.
About, and Paul, nice, and some tournaments I'm sure we'll be talking about.
Well, no, we're talking. Well, there is the Belmont Challenge, but
there you go.
This is more straightforward handicapping.
Cool.
The boys, thank you. We'll stay right here, and as we said, I think we got Paul Matisse standing by. Paul, good morning.
I'm here.
Nice. Excellent. Paul, we've had all manner of conversation this week, and it's an off year, quote unquote, no Triple Crown try, and we've had such odd elements that have gone into these 5 weeks. What's your overall feeling coming in to the weekend?
Well, as far as race wise, I mean, you couldn't get much better races. You know, I have this crazy idea that maybe Belmont should look at this week as maybe mirroring after like a Royal Ascot and spread these races for a little bit more time. They have so many of them, so many good races that some are going to get lost here in the last 2 days. And I think American Racing could be a great idea just to have it. I don't know exactly, but Memorial Day to Belmont is probably too long to do it, but something like that, where we ran every day at Belmont, I think that'd be interesting.
A festival, but I mean, more of a stand, more of a multi-day kind of a stand spread out a little bit. No, I get it. We touched on this the other day, Paul, and I brought it up with Rich Migliori, and Rich kind of agreed that, you know, these hyper super days, particularly at Saratoga, seem to be a little bit of overkill, truth be told. And Pete Fornatello is with us too, by the way, Paul.
Hey Paul.
Hey,
no,
well,
Scott.
I'm heading over there in a matter of days.
Yeah.
There you go. the other thing that I forgot to ask this of Mig, the idea of for the jockeys, Paul, that and also for the vagaries of weather, when you put everything and you stack it like this, you also have a potential. I mean, as we've seen it, particularly at Churchill, most often and most recently, you do have a potential to really for things to go sideways. Pegasus Day as well, and you know, by stacking the deck and putting all your chips, it's like roulette, and you know, trying to press some repeaters. You know, the concept that, we're going to have a mega day. Well, you could also have a mega disaster in terms of, you know, running it to everybody's satisfaction.
No doubt. And, you know, like, I think you used the right word, overkill. I mean, I handicapped these two cards. It's just, you know, even for me, you know, and I'm kind of used to it. It's daunting. You know, to think about all these races, and I actually feel bad for some of these races are just going to go like as an afterthought, and they're just incredible races. I mean, the True North today is an incredible race, you know, and betting race, and you might get lost, and certainly on some of the, on Saturday.
You mean you don't think the Brooklyn should be a walkout race, Paul?
Well, yeah, exactly. There's a perfect example. I mean, that could be a headliner on one day, you know. I mean, a Royal Ascot it would be, you know.
Yeah.
A mile and a half.
Right.
With great history behind it. Paul, on that topic, I want you to address, you know, because of your particular understanding of pace scenarios, explain to everybody the mechanics of the 12 furlong race, and particularly here, you know, where it is one time around, and then we'll actually morph over even to the turf marathons from a mile and a quarter.
You scared me for a second, you know, because I've been studying this net mile and trying to figure out how it's going to be run. And I'm going to tell you, it's been driving.
We'll get back to that. Yeah, we'll get back to that.
That's easier. You know, the first big misconception is that, you know, it's a long run to the first turn. You're probably sitting down there by it. You know, and a lot of the jockeys make mistakes in that it's almost a full quarter of a mile to the first turn, which is really unique to have run a mile and a half race and, you know, once around and really not have the first turn be an impact of where you of being wide and. But you do have to, you know, the pace develops a lot slower than what you think when it handicapped, you know, and the jockeys do it so little nowadays that sometimes they make a mistake where they send too much early and they worry about position too early. They got lots of time to figure it out in that first turn. Otherwise, the race is not much different than a true marathon that we've seen enough of in racing that I don't now the 2 mile turf race, that's a little bit different. We don't see a lot of those in the United States. That's a hard one to get a grasp on how it's going to be run. But I wouldn't put too much into the distance of the mile and a half race. You know, the certain things that people all know already, you know, you don't look for the deep closer. You know, nobody's going to run a last quarter in 24. You know, don't look for that. And, but besides that, I don't think there's anything much more to worry about. You know, the best horse usually gets there.
For historic perspective, when have you, you know, what examples have you had over the years where you sensed an opportunity? And I suppose the Triple Crown tries are the most glaring because until American Pharoah, I mean, the maxim had always been bet against. But, you know, where do you see the opportunities? What kind of a Belmont cast?
Well, to follow up on your other question, I guess, a little bit, too, the two examples that probably where you would but not all that recent, but, you know, when I was learning racing. You know, Bet Twice versus Ali Sheba and Easy Goer versus Sunday Silence. They're easier ones to understand, you know. Maybe even Risen Star, all in the 80s there. You still see the horses that have you still got to have some kind of quickness to win. You know, it's not a plotter's race, and the horses will run away from the other horses, even though they get spread out further if the race down lines earlier. But it's still a mile and a quarter type race. It's kind of a losing one, and that the winning margins get further apart, because that's indicative of time and physics. But the principles are still there. You still need a pronounced long gallop, you know, and still using long speed moves on dirt races, and you know, moving at the right time, I guess, is a little bit more important. And the examples I gave were scenarios where one got the perfect scenario and the other one didn't. So that's how it got more pronounced. But I think there were examples where you could see it, you know. I actually love this Belmont. This is interesting because I don't have a lot of opinions on some of these other races, and I really like the Belmont, so that's completely different than what I've had in the last few years.
That I like the sound of that, and I'm sure the listeners do too. What's your approach here, Paul?
I absolutely love Spinoff in the Belmont. I think Eddie, I think I've been on with you a couple times, and I've been preaching the Louisiana Derby was a much better race than anybody thought.
Right.
And he gets a scenario now where he's facing a lesser field. And he was hung out bad in the slop, and the Derby had no chance. I still had him running huge pace figures. He's going to sit perfect in this race. I think War of Will is a couple reasons there's enough to bet against him because of the track at Pimlico last time. He's a little suspect being a more turf bred, and even more front when he ran in the dirt. A mile and a half is stretching it. Especially if he's not loose on the lead, and I don't think he will be. I think Tacitus is okay, but he'd be over bet. I don't think he's anywhere near the type of horse that you would just go with completely. And I think he's going to sit right in behind the speed Spinoff. And I think Todd Fletcher's won this Belmont. He's got it down how to train for it. He's had unbelievable success with lesser horses than Spinoff. And the more I look at the race, the more I think I got him. I think he might be the best horse anyway, and I think all the other scenarios are in his favor.
Interesting.
Paul, how's the form of that Louisiana Derby working out when you look at the horses who've come back in figure terms? How have the horses improved or declined or stayed the same coming out of that?
It's a little weird because everybody improved except the top two finishers who ran in the Derby, which both had a weird circumstances in the Derby. You know, By My Standards got a terrible trip, and Spinoff as well. I mean, he was hung out six wide the whole way and in the turn, and
he seemed like he was resenting the slop. I definitely
he didn't appear
agree
to
with
like
that.
The slop at all.
Yeah,
and. And they definitely eased up, you know, they definitely protected him. And every other horse has run good. So, I mean, they both have a good enough excuse in the Derby. Now, both those horses came out of nowhere in the Louisiana Derby. But just, I know racing. You run that good, it's not by accident, you know. Spinoff ran really well in the Louisiana Derby. I absolutely love that Todd is running in the race on top of everything else. You know, I think that's a huge positive, you know, and I watched one of his workouts. He couldn't have worked better. I just think it's a great opportunity.
What price do you think he'll be?
You know, I've been trying to figure that out. I'm probably 10, 11 to 1, maybe a little lower. Maybe it depends on how much they go for the two favorites. If they're going to be real short or not.
Well, Tacitus, I mean, people are talking about Tacitus like the race has been run.
Yeah, it's strange to me. I mean, he's one of the horses to beat, but it's not like I don't know. It's not like he. I'm trying to even think of examples of. I can't even come up with one. His form is okay, but the Tampa Bay Derby and the Wood Memorial were both races. He got okay setups. I don't know. I know he's a horse that probably will keep getting better, but I just think it's he's a good opportunity to bet against too. Nowhere near. His resume is nowhere near as good as his reputation.
Mike Beer is joining us, and Mike, we don't have a headset, but so you didn't hear Paul, but I think you got some of the gist from the way Pete Fornatale and I responded. Spinoff for Paul, and spinoff enthusiastically. What's your call? And by the way, congratulations on the terrific day yesterday. You gave everybody all kinds of good direction, including the first-time starting winner in the Astoria.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. As far as spinoff goes, there's not a horse really in this Belmont that I would make a sort of big speech against, just because I just don't think this is an exceptionally strong race. I totally get the two favorites in here. Do I think that War of Will and Tacitus are, one of them is very likely to win this race? I do. That's just because personally I don't have a lot of faith in the other horses here. There's not a long shot that really intrigued me. I like Spinoff as a horse. I'm not, convinced that he really wants to go this far. Obviously, I don't really care about his Kentucky Derby, but, I don't know. The Louisiana Derby, to me, it's not a race that did a lot for me. I don't think it was a very good race. I know the figure came back fine for it. If he can improve off of that number, I guess he's a contender in here. But, he looked like a lot of the other bigger prices in the race that I just really couldn't get a real strong handle on.
From top to bottom, then, lay out a play.
This isn't a race that I'm looking to bet straight up necessarily because, like I said, the longer prices don't do a lot for me. I just didn't see that horse who I was, dying to bet at 10-1 in the race. I like Tacitus. I don't love Tacitus, but I like him more than I like the other ones. If I was going to, take a shot with a horse at a price, it would be Intrepid Heart. I don't like these horses coming into the Belmont Stakes off of three races. I don't really understand this kind of campaign for a horse like him, but I do think he's pretty talented.
Well, I picked him, and
pedigree-wise, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, his brother.
He had the reading, right.
Well, his brother, we go back to Commissioner. I brought it up all week. And the fact, and actually there's a piece, I'm going to assume Steve Chirac wrote it. I haven't looked at it, but I saw the headline in TDN about this has been the plan. And when Todd, after the maiden win, and he came up while we were discussing some other stake success that Todd had, and I said, is it too late for Intrepid Heart to take a shot for derby points? He says, Belmont horse, been our Belmont horse. That's his focus. And look at this. Maven is scratched out of the feature today.
Going to ask.
How about that? I hadn't been on Twitter at all. How about that? All right. So that's going to throw off all the multis in the late action. We'll go through the scratches in a minute.
Weird that they entered here because he worked on turf, and it sounded like that was the plan for a while, but I guess it was sometimes you have a backup plan, and they decided not to use it, and it didn't do us any favors.
All right. Well, let's press backwards, and we'll stay on the main track, Paul. And you said you were struggling with the Metropolitan. It, in a lot of ways, it's the most exciting race of the, honestly, I mean, the most anticipated race, anyway, of the card. What's the initial thought going in?
Yeah, like I said, I've had a great difficulty in trying to figure out how the race is going to go. I think the one thing that I've come up with is that I don't think it's going to be as fast a pace as what you might think. I think the instincts are that, well, this horse is going to hook up, and that they're going to hook up, and Cole Front's on the rail, so he's got to go. But my guess is they're going to be more tentative than you would think. That's why I'm starting to lean towards Mattoli.
Away, especially after the way he rated at Churchill.
Yeah, I rewatched that race, and he's very. They can do anything with him, and I'm a little worried that Santana, how he's going to handle it. But if they go slow enough, and he can just maneuver himself outside those two horses, or just off of them, I guess the real question would be is how quick Firenze Fire turns it up, and the other horse that didn't like the slop on the outside. If they can run with Mottoli in that part of the race, I'm not 100% sure they can. Originally, when I was looking at the race, I thought they would run by everybody. And the more I looked, the more I said, they're not going to run by Mottoli in the middle of the race. You know, it's going to be, I think the race will be won there. If they hook up, then the class horses will come and get them all. But if Mottoli can get away from them at that point, I think he's going to be tough.
How does McKenzie approach things then? And when
well, he just knows
the
that
Smith
Baffert
launch?
Doesn't like his post. He doesn't. He hates to be inside horses. So they're going to. My guess is that they're going to go back with him.
Take him back is my guess.
But you never can tell with Baffert because he likes to go forward so much. I think that could get him in trouble if he does go forward. You know, I think if he wants to tangle with these fast horses in the middle of the race, I think that's a problem. I don't like his chances if he does that. If he goes back and they hook up and he comes running, then he could be very tough. You know, that's why I think it's a very hard race to predict exactly how the horses are going to. You know, we haven't seen him run a mile in a while. You know, I mean, even a horse like Pavel, I think, is a miler, but he hasn't run it in so long. Is he going to get lost? I went back and watched Thunder Snow's races, and even though the pace was really fast, you know, I was playing that Mendelson diversify hookup in the he had a hard time keeping up with them when they really quickened, you know, with Thunder Snow, and I think he's going to need help. I think the older horses are going to need help. If they go suicidal, then I think they'll come rolling and their class will show, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. The more I look this race, the more I don't think that's going to happen. That's
Mike,
why it's confusing.
Paul's talking about what a confusing pace scenario we've got, and he thinks that the way Mottoli showed the ability to sit, that he's the one that can make the appropriate middle move and, you know, basically take over from Promises Fulfilled. That was Dale Romans' concern yesterday, because Dale's not even convinced that if Santana wants the lead, that he can keep up. So that just tells you how much respect Dale's got for Mottoli. What are you doing in the Met?
I ultimately decided, first of all, I'm not against McKenzie at all. I think he's the horse to beat in the race. I do really believe that the shorter distances are better for him. I'm not against him. Firenze Fire terrifies me. I don't know if he's really as good as some of the horses in here, but his best race is certainly good enough. If he runs it, I think it's a race that he can win. I'm just terrified of that horse. So I'm definitely using him and McKenzie. I think they're going to be my main two in the race. You know, I feel like I have a different take on Mottoli than most people do, which is fine with me, whether I'm right or wrong. If he's one of the shorter prices in the race, I really don't like him tomorrow, and I'm going to put most of my money in other horses and not him. If he wins, that's great. I'm not suggesting he's not a talent. I think he's a super talented horse. You know, I think this is a tough spot for him to try to get the mile for the first time. And, you know, I know that I guess you would say he rated and won last time. I'm having a tough time getting a handle on the Churchill Downs sprint. I mean, I think it looks like a fast pace, but it wasn't run like a race that had a fast pace. The top three finishers were just sitting up there together the entire way. Nobody from off the pace could really make any kind of an impact. I thought Mottoli looked good winning it, but I'm not so sure that. But just watching that race, I feel like he passed the test going 7 furlongs and sitting off the pace, because it just didn't look like that demanding of a race. If I'm 100% wrong about that, it's going to cost me tomorrow in the Met. But I'm really not that interested in McKenzie or Promises Fulfilled in this race.
Well, and of course, you know, one thing that is notable I want to bring up is, you know, Asmussen won this last year with B Jersey. And, you know, in terms of getting from point A to point B, they weren't dissimilar horses to some degree. But Asmussen off of that success, because I was curious last night, thinking, you know, and I'd forgotten about B Jersey.
Yeah, he was not. I guess you wouldn't say he was turning back, but he was out of a couple of two-turn mile races, right? Didn't he win the
Lone Star Park Handicap?
Yeah, a two-turn mile race, I think.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, I, you know, this is a little bit different. This horse is going to, to me, Mottoli's really stretching out against a really good field, too. I don't, you know, listen, I like him a lot as a horse. He's just not for me tomorrow.
Fair enough. Pete, do you want to? Stanley, our man Stan, Stan from Queens. The Pete, do you want to do this now or with, I don't, well, it's probably 11:15. We've got still got Ed and James, and I'm
I think Nick. Mickey T's around here somewhere.
Well, I think he knows where we are. I mean, so I'm surprised that he hasn't gotten here yet. But your Met thoughts?
It's an amazing handicapping puzzle. I love hearing two of the horse players I respect the most in the world, Mike Beer and Paul Matisse, talk about this race and the various scenarios that could occur, and it just shows you how tough it is that people that sharp can have pretty close to diametrically opposed views, even with some degree of overlap. Gun to my head, I'd probably pick McKinsey. I think the promises fulfilled mission on the front might make things just a little bit too tough for Mottoli. Paul's scenario of him blowing him up on the turn and going on with it, that could absolutely happen. But I like the idea of betting on the horse. I feel like just has the most class. We've seen how the Baffert's get laid out for these big days, especially in New York. It's a bit of a punt, but if you gun to my head, I'm gonna stick with McKinsey in this one.
Paul, let's get a couple of other thoughts anywhere else on the day. You know, we've got some short fields and some things. For instance, with the FIPS. How about let's stay on the main track. The Woody Stevens, I think, is actually kind of fun.
Yeah, it's a good race. I've become a big Mind Control fan, so I'm not against him in the race. The only way that maybe you'd go against him if the track continued to play inside. You know, I think, yesterday was definitely an inside tilt on the track. I'm expecting that to even out over the next 2 days. I don't think it's going to stay that way, but it's something to be aware of, you know, in the I didn't have a huge opinion except that I think that the two favorites ultimately, even though they're not going to be that short, Honest Mischief and Mind Control, I thought they were the best two horses, and I thought one of them would win.
Fair enough. We'll stick with you and get a couple of other opinions. The turf races. Anything unusual? Anybody lurking?
Yeah, I got a crazy opinion in the Manhattan.
We love crazy opinions.
There we go.
Yeah, I like Epical.
Jimmy.
I think he's
Jim Cassidy. Jim Cassidy.
Yeah.
He's been waiting to get the lead somewhere.
And he's going to get the lead, and he was sneaky good in that race, chasing Hunting Horn, who I believe is way better than most people think he is. And I thought he got a crazy ride, even though I like being, I'll never be against anybody's aggressive, but I think that was ridiculous in the way he rode that horse in the race that day. And I thought, if you will go back and watch that, it wasn't just like he wasn't there at the end of the race. And if I get the feeling they're just going to let him have the lead, and I think they could be in trouble in this race if they just let that horse loaf.
Have you run this by your brother, who is frequently complaining about Tyler Bayes' approach to race riding?
The one thing about Tyler Bayes that he is great at is these turf routes too, getting horses in the lead. It goes back a long ways, but I was at Santa Anita when he won his first Grade One. It was that mile and three quarter race that they used to run that Johnny Longden won for his farewell race. You know, that what's the name of that race? We need Hammer.
The San Juan Capistrano.
San Capistrano, yeah, that one. And he's won that race three or four times, I think. He's of all the things that he's done, he's been very successful in these long turf races. I think so. I'm not worried about that. I actually think that's a plus.
Excellent. All right, Epical and Jim Cassidy when. He won, I guess, I don't know if it was the allowance, or maybe actually, you know what, it was the San Luis Rey, because we were talking to Jim in his role as the head of the TOC, and we got around to congratulating him about Epical's graded stake win, and he said, it's a very nice horse. So this is Jim held him in the highest regard, and you know, here halfway through his 4-year-old year, and he's a gelding, right? I think he's a gelding. Is he gelding?
Yeah.
So he's going to be around for a long time, and Cassidy clearly trying to strike this opportunity. Well, anything else, Paul?
Well, you know, unfortunately, it's not a great betting race, but I think it'll be a great race to watch, the one you mentioned there, the Phipps. And since it's not a great betting race, I'll probably root for Escape Clause, because how can you not root for that?
It's a great story. Just a great story.
And your interview with Mr. Schnell after he won the race at Sunland was great on the radio. But I'm not sure he could beat the two top ones, but, you know, obviously one of the three are going to win. I think if you made me pick it, I think I'd go Come Dancing, but I probably will go a little heavier with her, but it's not really a great betting race per se. The Brooklyn, I think Fletcher might win that race too.
Marconi or the other one? Or You're to Blame?
I think the other one. I think You're to Blame I like. You know, the Rocketry You're to Blame race last year was one of the better marathon races we've run in this country in a while, when that Belmont. And I think Rocketry hasn't come back to be the same horse, unfortunately. But You're to Blame has. He's run very well both starts this year. You know, he's tactical, and I think he's going to get a good setup. I don't think there's a lot of pace. I think he's going to sit right just off of it.
You know, it's funny. I don't disagree, and we've talked all year really about Todd Pletcher having the best cast of older horses in my memory. I mean, it's crazy, actually. I mean,
it's interesting that Marconi isn't that the. You know, I was thinking about this last night. It's not really opinion, but you know, that's the strangest campaign ever for a $2 million. Horse, I think, ever with Marconi. But I think it's great that he's got him running and running him at a high level to the best of his ability.
Well, and of course, the sibling of Mucho Macho Man.
The Acorn's a great race. We haven't talked about that.
Which one? The Acorn?
The Acorn.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. And then I'll let
I have a long shot that I like in that race. I like Belle's the One as a possibility. I'm not sure.
Second time she's come
enough.
Up. Belle's the One.
But I think she's going to run well, and I think she's going to be in it. I don't think this race is going to be bet the way everybody thinks. I don't think Serengeti Empress is going to be a clear favorite. I think the two horses with the big figures are going to get bet into her, and rightfully so. And more probably one of the two are going to win, I think. But
meaning CC or Guarana, right?
Yeah, they're the, you know. Neither one of them has gone this far, and obviously they've only run once, so you don't know really how good they are. But both of them were extremely – well, I guess CC's run twice, but, you know, they've been both of them are really, really impressive. In a division that where nobody has been impressive, I think one of them's going to – you know, it would be great if both of them shine through and run big. It'd be great for the division. Kind of needs it.
Absolutely.
But I don't – betting-wise, I think they're going to be bet more than maybe you think, just because the other horse won the Oaks. I don't think New York bettors don't go for that.
Well,
for figures and
agreed, and especially because there's perceived speed to go with her, and you know, that although there was perceived speed to go with her in the Oaks,
right.
And they didn't. Of course, there was also the incident too, but still, you're the second person to bring up Belle's the One, and certainly
I think
Neil Bessin.
For the gimmicks and stuff, yeah, to get in it. And
that would be great.
If it completely melted down, maybe, you know, but more just the flyer.
I love it. Paul, as we wrap up, any best bet today?
You know, we didn't talk about the True North. I got a long shot that I like in that race, too, a little bit, though I do like Duchesne, but I think Stan the Man is an interesting bomb in that race. If he can go back to running like he did when he was the best maiden in the country, or if he could sit more.
Oh, that's right.
I kind of like
right.
The cutback. You know, I'm hopeful that they ride him that way. maybe he'll get into it. Well,
he's got one of the hottest jocks in the country in Dylan Davis, who has come of age clearly.
The that's a great race too. I mean, that's a, you know, talk about a race where you wouldn't talk anybody off of anything. I like Multiplier a little bit for my rare turf opinion in the allowance race in the sixth race. I don't know if he'll be overlooked. I don't know if he'll be full 8-1 in the what they say is, but I don't think she likes the soft turf, and she's, you know, coming out of making a huge drop in class, and I think her Angels of Time. Every one of these Chad Brown horses have run off a layoff, so it's not that I'm against the other horse. I just think Multipliers maybe a classier horse than probably what they expected they were going to face in this race.
Nice. I used the Multiplier as well with Annals and with that big handsome of Tony Dutrose. I thought those three would get you through.
Well, they must like that horse. Did you see how Johnny V took Angel took that horse over the other
right
Fletcher horses? And the Fletcher horses have worked good and they're interesting in the race. And he doesn't want any part of them. That was a little confusing to me. But that must be a good sign for big for the Dutcher horse.
Well, it's always a good sign for At the Races listeners when Paul Matisse offers these kinds of insights and opinions. Paul, best of luck this week, and I'm sure this
all right,
weekend.
Good luck, everybody.
We'll talk to you probably next week to recap Triple Crown season.
Sounds good.
Paul Matisse, everybody, the absolute greatest, and I wanted to wrap up with Paul because we've got to get the other sets of bodies in here, but we've gone without a break this morning. Pete Fornital with us, as well as Mike Beer from the Daily Racing Forum. And Pete, quick aside, Belmont Challenge, who's in town? And
surprise appearance coming today. He was meant to play online, but he's actually going to be in the building. Jonathan Kinchin coming to play his two entries. Looks like they have 59 entries total. People coming from far and wide. Including Garrett Skiba coming in from Chicago, California contingent represented as well. It's going to be fun to see who comes out on top. Big money on the line for the Belmont Stakes Challenge, that's for sure.
Excellent, and we didn't get a chance to talk earlier in the week, as it turned out, but anything quick to report?
Oh, yeah, great stuff from Monmouth Pick Your Prize. We had another 20-something winner of a major handicapping contest, Pat Stitch, 26 years old, another Chicago guy, ends up winning the day, winning about $50,000 in cash and prizes. And that's always a good story. And typical of the Monmouth Pick Your Prize contest, they end up giving out something on the order of 20-odd NHC seats and a lot of big winners and a lot of familiar names in the contest world. One achievement I noticed was Scott Carson of Public Handicapper getting two names up there into the top 20. Pretty impressive stuff. And Monmouth just continue to carve out a really nice niche for themselves in the contest world, offering great value to players. More events coming up there if you want to check out the schedule on monmouthpark.com.
Excellent. And now Nick Tamaro joins the coterie here. Nick, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Excellent. So Pete and Nick and Mike Beer, and you guys back and forth with the mic. And we'll sort of reiterate, Mike, you already gave a little bit of the Belmont treatise. Nick, play a little catch-up quickly, and we'll get right into this, your Belmont thought.
I was actually very spirited to hear Paul's take on Spinoff. I like Spinoff as well. I mean, my plan was to bet Tacitus and Spinoff, kind of take the approach that War of Will might be getting to the clock striking midnight. I know he had a very favorable trip in the Preakness. You don't want to hold that against a horse with War of Will style because he's going to make his own trip pretty frequently. But I think things really did go his way. I know pedigree-wise, he really is suited to the mile and a half. He's a half to a horse named Tacticus, not Tacitus, but his brother Tacticus won the Birdstone and the Temperance Hill back in 2015, which are races run at 14 and 13 furlongs, respectively. So he's really, he's also half to Pathfork, who is a very, very nice two-year-old in Europe on the turf. So he's a horse that really should get the distance. I love his running style for this particular race, but Spinoff's going to offer value to me. He's going to be forwardly placed. I think that not only does Todd Pletcher know how to train for this race, I think Javier Castellano knows how to ride this particular race and the unique circumstance that exists with the 12 furlongs once around.
Very good. Who else? How are you going to build the ticket?
I'm mainly going to play Tacitus and Spinoff in an exacta. I'm going to box the exacta, and then as far as the trifecta goes, I'm going to sprinkle in some of the one-run closing types. I'll get Bourbon War into there. I don't quite know exactly what to do with Tax. I want to give him maybe one more opportunity, but there's been so the mixed signals have been so mixed with what's gone on. So I'll include War of Will. I can't use Master Fencer, who I know there might be some support for. I don't know from whom. But I'll include Sir Winston, I guess, as an underneath type.
Sushi bars worldwide.
I don't think there's much. I really don't think it's a particularly contentious race. I'll use Intrepid Heart as well underneath, who I think has that kind of profile. Well, he'll just run one speed around the track.
Which historically has worked well. All right, now we can do some back and forths and some mic passing, and we'll work backwards. Manhattan, Nick.
I'm gonna try the horse that everybody was on last year in the Manhattan and give Robert Bruce another opportunity. I think that if you're looking at Robert Bruce's running line from the Manhattan, you're not really getting the whole picture, and it's important to watch the replay of that race and to understand that that was a boggy course. I think Robert Bruce has made it clear up to this point he does not like any given the ground. I thought he was ridden in a surprising and probably foolish manner, being a lot more forwardly placed than he needed to be. I thought, all things considered, he ran very well. I think he's going to offer value, and I think the mile and a quarter really is the ideal fit for him. Of the three Chads, he probably will be the second best price, or there's four Chads, excuse me.
I bet there's a hanging
really,
Chad.
Yeah, I think there's probably a pregnant Chad as well. I can't dismiss Raging Bull, to be honest, either. I thought Raging Bull actually ran well in the Woodford Reserve Turf Classic, being down inside and having to... He angled out a little bit. Go back and look at Bricks and Mortar's trip. I mean, Jose did Irad a big favor at the top of the stretch by angling, breaking the rules out so he could get a perfect split. That being said, Bricks and Mortar's the horse to beat. One of these Chads is going to win this race. I'm going to be very surprised if it goes anywhere else.
Mike Beer.
I like everybody I've talked to about this race so far has a similar take as Nick does. Which is fine. I'm starting to feel like I'm going to be completely wrong about this, though. But that's okay with me. I'm not against Bricks and Mortar. I don't think he has to win, but I'm not against him. I'm going to use him, obviously. I think Channel Maker makes a lot of sense. I know that if you look at his race last year in this race, you know, he's just way back out of it. It was no factor. He got into a lot of traffic in that race, but he's not that horse anymore. He's a speed horse now. He'll get a better position this time, and so I think the mile and a quarter could be okay for him. I like those two horses most, but of the other Chads, I actually like Olympico, and I know that off of his stateside debut, you're supposed to say everything went perfectly for him. He caught soft turf. A bunch of horses, basically Robert Bruce, didn't show up, and this horse took advantage, and he paid over $30, and you were supposed to have him then, and you're not supposed to have him on Saturday, but... I think that this horse maybe really responded to racing over here and to Chad into racing for Chad Brown, and I think he's going to be a bigger price than he is on the morning line, and I'm going to give him a shot to back up that effort because I think he really ran in that race. I don't like Robert Bruce as much as it seems like everybody else does. I think he's a really good horse, and I know that he's better on firm turf, but I don't know that he has huge excuses being on ground with Given It, because it's not like he ran terribly last year on a course with Given It when he was second to Channel Maker. He didn't love it, but he didn't hate it. So I don't know. I have a bad feeling about that horse. I think Olympico is a little interesting there if he drifts off the morning line. I think it's also worth mentioning he came from last to first to win that race in the Fort Marcy. When you watch his races in France, and I know that he wasn't a group horse over there, he was forwardly placed in all those races. He doesn't have to be way out of it. I'm very interested in this horse if he's a price.
Excellent. Mike, go on with that. Did you get an opinion in the Manhattan?
I don't think there's enough meat left on the bone. These guys broke it down great.
Then let's get to the Met and Mike Beer.
Yeah, I mean, we touched on it a little bit before when Paul was on.
Oh, that's right.
You know, McKenzie and Firenze Fire are really my main two. And I'm interested to hear what Nick thinks. I was sort of against Mottoli, but I know that he can win. I'm sort of against him tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm taking a more critical approach with Mottoli as well. I think that of the known commodities, he's the one that I want to take the biggest stand against. I'm going to ride the Firenze Fire train. I think McKenzie, I don't want to make too much of a draw in a nine-horse race, but I do think, given that he's so uncomfortable being inside, it did kind of work against him. The one thing that I'll say is that everybody around him has speed, so he should be able to get outside. It's really going to depend on what's done with Thunder Snow.
Smith does it when there aren't people
Well, Mike gets to the outside
him.
As fast as he possibly can.
Exactly. So,
he'll probably have him in the Cross Island Parkway midway around the turn, which is obviously where he wants to be as well. The thing with Firenze Fire is that you're talking about a horse that is going to go off a somewhat distant third choice that has two races over this surface that win this race. And in those circumstances, as a gambler, you want to take that gamble. So I'm going to probably focus on him. I'm really interested to see how the first quarter mile of this race goes, whether it's a sprint to the lead with Mattoli like it was with B Jersey, or if they might say Promises Fulfilled is sort of a quasi no hope speed horse and let him go and then try and position themselves outside of him. That's where Santana is pretty comfortable, and obviously Mattoli is comfortable there too. Everything about this race is fascinating, and I can't wait to see it unfold. I'll probably find a way to lose a few dollars on it, and it'll be fun in the meantime.
There we go. Then press backward into the Woody Stevens, Nick.
Well, you know, talking about bad draws, I think you could probably psych yourself out on this. I think Honest Mischief is one of the best three-year-olds in training. And I'm going to take the approach that Honest Mischief will move forward. I thought his maiden race at Keeneland was incredibly impressive. The race has come back very, very productive. And I actually think his buyer figure could be a little bit higher. And I think if you were dealing with this horse having a low 100s type of figure, he'd probably be the favorite, if not pretty close to it. So I'm going to just hope that Javier can work out a trip from the inside. I think there are enough knocks on everybody in here that are going to take money. I have no big stand against Mind Control. I think Mind Control's a nice horse. He's pretty much shown up every single time. And I thought the Bayshore was a solid performance. I think you'll get a little bit more of the much better that you did in the Gotham, where he's very aggressively ridden and goes right to the lead, and that probably will create some separation in the race. I think that'll help Honest Mischief, and I think that'll help some of the off the pace types that I'll include, like Hog Creek Hustle and potentially Baracho.
You're in the same boat.
Yeah,
right?
We're going to make this very easy because we had the same opinion about this race. I'm not way against Mind Control. I know he can win. I prefer Honest Mischief. I think he might be real, real good. And there's just so much speed in the race that, you know, being drawn to the rail, this race could get he could get some separation early and work out a trip in here, because Much Better is going and Complexity is probably going, and Landeskog, the O'Neill horse, is wicked fast, and that horse is going. This horse might be able to work out a trip. I like him, and I will use Mind Control because I know that he can win, and the closer that I wanted was Baracho.
I want another word from you all on Complexity, about how the vibes have been surrounding this one's return to the races, because Honest Mischief is my top pick, but I don't really feel like getting beat by Complexity in this spot. Am I giving too much credit to that old form?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, he's obviously talented, I guess. You know, it does feel like the shorter distances are going to be better for him, so starting back at 7. I believe the word was that this wasn't going to be his first race. He had a different race picked out for this horse, but Chad was saying he's training so well that we're going to run him now. He's not going to wait for another race. So I guess you could take that as a good sign if you want to. I just don't particularly like the way this race sets up for him.
Mm-hmm,
first
fair.
Off, the layoff going 7/8 with all this other speed in mm-hmm. the race, I think it's going to be very difficult for him to win.
Yeah, if we had seen at some point him show any ability to rate, then I would be a little bit more inclined to take him. I think that you don't really want to say that you can burn a race in a grade one in a division that only has two grade ones, but I think that kind of Chad probably feels like he could maybe have this horse a little bit more down the line in a King's Bishop type of spot, and there's got to be a starting point of some sort. And I think he came together a little bit quicker in his preparation for this race than was anticipated, but I think he's the second best of the horses from this barn. But I'm very intrigued to see how he runs. One other thing I wanted to include on Honest Mischief, for those of us that worry about track profile ever, he was the only horse that made up ground at Keeneland on Bluegrass Day whatsoever, and that's another reason why I think he's in a pretty powerful
spot.
Win made up some ground too. Yeah, in a race that was a little bit going backwards, but I agree, he did. I wish Win was in this race. This is the spot he should have been in. All he should have been in here. He's a sprinter.
I will pass that on to Mike.
Please.
He remains unconvinced. I'm going to cover all bases in the 2-day pick four and just go 1-2-4-9 and just make sure. I don't, you know, I, it's
You should have the winner amongst those four.
Right? Yeah. That feels like it. Moving backwards, the Acorn. We just had we almost closed more or less with Paul Matisse, and you know, this is the race. This is the whole discussion that we had with Paul and yesterday with Mig about the overkill nature of the 8 grade ones and 16 graded stakes or whatever the hell it is in 72 hours, because this is a race that does not deserve to be just sort of lumped in and overlooked. It doesn't, this is where you say, you know, 5 grade ones would have been enough and we can use this elsewhere. Anyway.
Yeah, I agree with all that stuff. I mean, this is maybe my favorite race on the entire card tomorrow. I think there's a lot going on in here, and a lot of different horses can win. And this race in particular, you know, the Bet Mile to me is such a really interesting race, but I like the shorter prices in that race, so I'm not, you know, that interested in it. This race, I feel like you could get a real price in this race, mostly because, you know, Serengeti Empress is a nice horse and can win, but I'm not betting her in this race. I don't really want her. And the 2-1 morning line favorite, Garana, for Chad Brown. Listen, I was as taken by her debut as everybody else was. She was awesome in there. And I'm not going to be surprised when she wins. I'm using her in this race. But I just wanted to sort of, you know, I don't think it's as easy as just saying she's going to step up to a mile and beat this field. This is a good field. So I'm using that horse, but I'm going in a different direction in here. I heard that, you know, it sounded like Paul was talking about Bell's the One.
Yes.
I liked Bell's the One last time and bet her on in the 8 Bells. And I thought that she ran great in there. She had no chance to beat Break
Even.
She
ran into a buzzsaw. Everybody ran into a buzzsaw.
She's running here on Sunday in a race that she, you know, can't possibly lose, it seems like. But she's really, really good. I will say this about Bell's the One. My one concern with her going into that race last time, even though I liked her, and then now going into this race, is the longer she goes on dirt, the less I like her, because she has a real quick burst. And then she doesn't really carry it on. She'll make one big run and then flatten out a little bit, and I wonder if she'll get the mile. But she did run well last time, and I could use her underneath in this race. I like Queen of Bees on top. I liked all of her first three races. I thought she ran really well in all of them. I think she has a great style for this race, where she can be off the pace but doesn't have to get outrun. And she has excuses for that 8 Bells. She had missed some preparation leading into that. Her trainer was very upfront about it, that she wasn't 100% going into the race. And I still think she ran pretty well in there. She was never a threat to win it, but she did pretty well just to get third in there. I think she'll definitely get the mile. She'll get a good trip in this race. She's already fast enough to be competitive in here. She's 12-1 on the morning line. I'm betting that horse, and I'm using her with Guarana and Bell's the One. And I'll probably use CC because she looks really talented to me. I don't buy that figure she got for her last race. I think it's a little too high, but I loved her debut. I do think she ran well last time. I'm going to use that horse as well.
I like her from a race design point of view. I could just see it tripping out for CC.
Yeah, it feels that way. I agree with Mike on Queen of Bees. I think Queen of Bees is going to get a great setup in here. I don't see how there's any doubt about it, especially if it unfolds anything like we're expecting. I fear that it might not unfold exactly like we're expecting, but I think even so, you'll get enough pace for a horse like that. I thought Cookie Dough was an interesting horse in addition, and I'll use Cookie Dough along with Queen of Bees. She is a horse who can come from a little bit off the pace. She's obviously going to benefit if the races run the way we're expecting as well, and really did some good things for, you know, with all due respect to Stanley Gold, a lesser stable than Kieran McLaughlin. And in this scenario, with there being a first-time Kieran, I think you'll see some improvement. So I think the mile fits her very well around one turn, and I'll bet against Serengeti Empress 8 days a week in a scenario where there's any other speed in there to force her hand a little bit. And as far as the Ortiz boys go, there's no doubt when you're talking about a speed-committed horse drawn inside on the dirt, I'd much rather have Jose than Irad, and this is a scenario where I think there are a lot of knocks on both favorites.
Pete, quickly.
I chimed in my quick little note on CC. That would be my top pick.
There we go. All right, pick threes, basically, from the fourth, fifth, sixth. Very quickly, Mike Beer, the Just a Game, the Phipps, and the Jaipur.
In the Just a Game, I like Daddy is a Legend. I'm not way against Rushing Fall. I don't know why I was going through her PPs the other day, and I don't know why I've sort of been standing against her in a lot of her races, because she's really good. I've just been totally wrong about her, but I like Daddy as a Legend, second off the layoff. I like her at a mile. I think she can get a good trip in this race. I'm going to use Environs as well. I just hope she bounces back. She didn't run terribly last time, but she may be a horse who wants firm ground, and she didn't get that on Derby weekend. I'm going to use her as well. Those were, you know, my main three in there. You know, there's not much to say about the Phipps. Maybe Come Dancing can beat Midnight Bisou. You know, they're both very short prices, so it doesn't hold a lot of interest for me. I would use both of those two horses. And in the Jiper, you know, listen, Roll the Trouble, maybe he's just going to win. Maybe he's going to go right to the front, run his typical race, and wire this field. I'm not so sure that Disco Partner is all done. I know that there's some concern that he can't run anymore. I think he can still run. Based on his form last year, this horse can still run. His race at Aqueduct in November is way better than it looks, in my opinion. He got a terrible ride in there from Rosario, or else he would have won. He's back with IRAD in this race, and I can forgive him for the Shakertown. He doesn't want to go that short. He doesn't really run well at Keeneland. This horse can still run. He can beat World of Trouble, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, I felt similarly in the Just a Game. I've been a Daddy as a Legend fan for a long time. I feel like a mile is ideal for her, and she ran like a horse who needed a race last time. I know Weaver's been good off the layoff in the past, but I think you can give her that excuse, and I think it's legitimate. So I'm willing to give her another try. I agree with Environs. I think the thought process that she wants a firmer turf course makes perfect sense. I don't think much of a case can be made for anybody else outside of that. I know there's going to be some Beau Recall support, but I don't quite see it. I think Come Dancing's going to wire the Phipps.
We've heard that.
I feel pretty firmly on that. Her New York races are very, very good. Yes, she's been the beneficiary of some relatively slow paces, but who in there is going to force her along in here? I mean, Escape Clause might put a little pressure on her from the outside. I think Escape Clause is a really cool horse, but we've seen a lot of these horses over the years struggle in New York. And as far as the Jiper goes, I agree with Mike that I don't think Disco Partner's finished. I think he's very dangerous, and I think if we see World of Trouble get any kind of pressure, the horses that are most interesting to me are he and Ohm, to a slightly lesser extent, Dirty. I have a little bit of a thing for Ohm in this race, cutting back. I don't love cutbacks on the turf, but he's going to lay back and make one run. I think he could get in the exacta. And I've got a worry with World of Trouble. You know, this is a horse that was a grade one winner on dirt. They've run in two turf sprints in a row. This horse has been very gingerly handled in his last two starts. Manny Franco's really tried to back both those races down. This is a horse with an incredible amount of speed. I don't know. I feel like there's a little something there that might make him vulnerable. And look, there aren't a lot of opportunities early on this card to take big stands against favorites. So he might be one that you could at least fool around in the intra-race betting trying to beat.
Fair enough. And Just a Game today? I mean, I'm sorry, True North?
I think the True North's a terrific race. I mean, there's a race that could be a headliner on almost any card. I like Duchere. I thought Duchere ran well in the Churchill Downs, and I could see him getting a good pace in here, and that's enough for me to try it.
Oh, really quick. I'm also Team Disco Partner, who I think is sitting on a race. I'm more in the Midnight Bisou camp. I think at odds against, she would be a bet for me, and I cannot see past Rushing Fall.
Very good. All right. And before we bring in Ed DeRosa and Seth Merrow to close things out, Pat Cummings and Philly Joe both making appearances. And I saw, you know, Seth took advantage of Pat, or Pat took advantage of Seth, more appropriately. Yeah, he did. I know he did. I'm kidding. But we kid because we love. And because you're an easy target.
A big one, too.
Opinions, quick?
Yeah, I heard what Paul Matisse said on Spinoff, and I completely agree. I was fancied him in the Derby a bit, and I give him every chance to have one here. Tacitus and Spinoff, you know, in the Belmont, certainly. Very interesting, you know, of course, Thunder Snow, two-time World Cup winner. I thought he had I've talked to Sumion quite a bit about the horse. They just absolutely love him over a mile. I love the chance. This is a stallion-making opportunity in America for him, and I think his presence in this race, you don't get races like this in America, and I am just so excited to see the race.
No, America sucks, Pat. America's a joke. I know. America, no, you just don't get races like this in America.
No, I mean,
except when we do.
Sprinters versus the distance horses.
This bet mile, they seem to mix it up like this a lot.
It's great. I'm looking forward to it a lot.
What else? Best bet of the day somewhere beside these spots?
Yeah. I will tell you this. I think I love the Gold Cup.
Of course you
today.
Do.
I love the Gold Cup. And I actually think there's a couple Melbourne Cup hopes that could come out of this.
Ahmad,
the Alessandro Bonnie horse.
Yep.
Those are Australian connections, OTI Racing, that have bought the horse for this. Could be very interesting. And you know who's a horse that I think could be pointed there is Arklo. I would not be surprised if the Donegal folks took a shot.
I think that came up. It's come up with Brad Cox, actually, now that you mentioned
it. That'll be fun.
Excellent. Philly Joe?
How you doing, Steve?
I'm good. Great to see you as always. What do you got? Give us a couple quick.
I mean, after listening to Paul earlier, I mean, how do you go against Spinoff? I mean, I've never heard him talk about a horse like that ever, you know? I mean, I'm going to be using Tacitus. I'm tossing War Will. And I'm also going to be using a wacky horse underneath Tax. I'm just trying for some prices there. But, I mean, geez, I mean, Paul really
made
sold
a case. He sold it hard.
Yeah, he really did. Jeez.
And, I know.
You know, today I'm back and forth on a bunch of different horses. I really don't have any strong opinions today. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
So. Always good to see you. Contest-wise, where do you stand? Did you have a hit?
Yeah. No, not recently.
That's yet? Okay.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
All right. You got time. You got plenty of time. I appreciate it. Our man Philly Joe and Pat Cummings, it's the horseman of the apocalypse. Ed DeRosa is sitting in, and we can't get Scully today. Do we have any Scully knowledge going into today? Anything that he wanted passed along?
No.
All right.
I should ask him.
That's
all right. Now he's on air.
All right. No problem.
Something cagey, I'm sure.
Exactly. Well, and Seth Merrow, who he probably did three shows already today, right?
Well, one, certainly, but we've crammed in enough for tomorrow. Yeah, so two. Yeah, two.
Yeah, you taped a bunch of stuff, and you'll pass it off as live.
I never
Radio
do that.
Magic.
I never do that.
Who would?
I always am up front. Tape material is tape material.
The great Brian DiRenzo with Seth, of course. He's Seth's traveling companion. And Mick went to...
Yeah, I'm kiltless this week.
Exactly. Mick usually wandering around with a kilt, making everybody wonder about Seth. So it's good.
Yeah, checking in at the hotel at the Queen's Flight a couple of years ago was interesting.
By the way, am I glad you said that? You hit. But look at you. You're just such a good prompter.
Woodbine Oaks.
The Woodbine Oaks, of course. And we talked to Cassie the other day and the plate trial. The Woodbine Oaks, $500,000 goes as the ninth. The plate trial is the eighth. And they're also running the William Graham Memorial, six and a half, that big one turn. And don't forget the Mint Julep. As well at Churchill, the mile and a 16th on the grass, and quite a few familiar names and faces in there, including Rusty Arnold, who can do no wrong with Smart Shot, and Lamari for Brad Cox, and Don Alberto, Moms on Strike, very nice race, and the Lowe's with Danny Pites, Smart Emma. So there is racing elsewhere beside Belmont. It doesn't feel that way. Let's quickly, boys, we got about 7 minutes, seven and a half. Why don't, Ed, why don't you and Seth ping pong? People have heard enough from me in these 2 hours and 50 minutes. Work from the Belmont backwards.
My thought with this Belmont Stakes is basically the coda on a Triple Crown season and Derby prep season where no horse really had a breakthrough performance, traded a lot of 95s and 100s on the Brisnet scale. I narrowed it down to the two Pletchers and Master Fencer. I felt like one of those three had the best chance at a price. I mean, Tacitus certainly, we wouldn't be surprised if he runs a 105 and wins. But at a price, I thought those three, Pletcher seems to have really gotten a hold of this race. One race year in and year out, he does well. And then Master Fencer, total wild card. Don't love the training, but at the same time, how much can I hate it? I don't know how they train over there. My favorite jockeys aboard, I can't get beat at 20-1. So my Belmont is basically getting two of the three, the two Pletchers or Master Fencer in the number.
I put Tacitus on top of Spinoff and the two Mark Cassie horses underneath. But, you know, listening to just the last few minutes of your show, Spinoff may be the clever horse. It's going to be interesting to see now what he goes off at. I thought we would get some. I think we'll still get value there. But Tacitus, they were my top two horses in the Derby. I'm going to go back to those and hope for rebounds there. Obviously, Tacitus ran well in the Derby. Spinoff, not so much. But War of Will I have in the mix. And Sir Winston, I talked to Mark Cassie a couple couple of weeks ago, and as I was talking War of Will, he said, yeah, you know what, Sir Winston, War of Will, like many horses, you don't know about the mile and a half, but Sir Winston, I definitely think is going to get the mile and a half. So that's my four in the Belmont, Tacitus, Spinoff, and the two Cassie horses underneath.
Part of the reason I was wanting to be bullish on those three prices in the Belmont is I'm pretty chalky in the preceding two races. I think Bricks and Mortar is the best horse in training, along with Matoli, tipping my hand, who I like in the Met Mile. So I'm not looking to double or triple my tickets. I'm all in on Bricks and Mortar.
I have him on top, but I have Channel Maker underneath, and the way he's won the last two, I mean, he has a nose for the wire, but yeah, you're really, you are, it's
and
a heart attack
some
waiting for him to get up there. Olympico also from Chad Brown in the third spot, but I think Channel Maker is interesting there and potentially maybe a little bit of an upset.
Yeah, and Matoli in the Met Mile for me, I've loved him ever since he broke through in the on the Preakness undercard last year, and he's done nothing wrong since. And between McKinsey being there and the questions about the mile, I think we're getting the right price. He's my best bet of the day.
I have him on top too, but it is the question mark on the distance. McKinsey Cole Front underneath. Matoli, that race two back to Count Flea. I really like Whitmore, and I used him that day. And when Matoli beat him easily, I kind of got on his bandwagon. So I think Matoli, but as I've talked to people the last couple of days, Frenzy Fire, I think, is given the talked to Dave Brennick this
three,
morning.
Three best performances of his career.
He said,
here.
If you want a definition of horse for a course, and not just best. He completely
by a wide
freaks
margin.
When
yeah,
he plays.
It's
so
nuts.
I have to put him in the mix somehow and play him a little bit.
Absolutely.
Speaking of freak, maybe that's what Honest Mischief is. It was only a maiden race, but I was there that day, and he absolutely blitzed the field and was breathtaking coming down the stretch. Judmont was there in force. It just, I had the feeling watching that race at the time that maybe this was Judmont's arrogate among the three-year-olds that we'll see his best later in the year, and this is the coming out party.
I put the other Chad Complexity on top. I put Honest Mischief actually in the third spot, which I may very well kick myself for because I agree that last race. But it was just a maiden breaker in between the two, Mind Control, who a couple of tries at 7 furlongs, which can be a quirky distance, and he's run well winning those two times, including the Bayshore last time. So I had Mind Control in between the two Chads.
In the Acorn, I looked to the outside, saw Mike McCarthy ship east last year with City of Light in Oaklawn, and I'm keeping that in mind here. Just looks like a nice move. Victor coming out, stays aboard, is one off the pace. Just missed last time trying to go gate to wire. I have to fade Guarana. Honest Mischief I'm fine with, but second career start off a sealed sloppy effort has to beat me as the favorite.
I have CC on top, Guarana underneath, Serengeti Empress in the third spot in a division I think just waiting for somebody to kind of step up and claim, you know, the top position, because the Kentucky Oaks usually kind of defines that, but I think the number thrown and the situation, Serengeti Empress, I don't think is that.
Yeah, and it's kind of obvious, you know, last year Monomoy Girl came and did win this race, but I'm not sure the one to, like, Serengeti Empress has the speed at a route seems to be her weapon, and at the one turn mile maybe a little different here.
And Jiper is interesting because of World of Trouble. I heard the guests earlier talking about that one. I just think he's phenomenal, and for whatever reason, I talked to Jason Service and Michael Dubb after the win down at Gulfstream and after the win in the Carter, and they were both kind of like, you know, this horse is actually better on turf. So it's a strange campaign, but the horse is one that can go turf or dirt. They think he's better on turf, so I'll trust them.
There's plenty of favorites I'm looking forward to beating. Hopefully on Saturday he's not one of them. Phipps, Come Dancing for me. I think she just takes the field gate to wire, and as Teresa said last night when we were talking, Carlos Martin having a grade one in the winner's circle would be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I put her underneath, and that may be one I regret, but Midnight Bijou coming out of the two stakes down at Oaklawn. She just might be a better four-year-old, actually. We'll see. I think you have a short field, but it's going to be one of the more fun races on the card.
No, really,
because
compelling.
They are two clearly superior horses.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Just a game, I said Matoli's my best bet of the day. Beau Recall would be number two. Has to catch Rushing Fall, but at three times the price, I'll take a shot.
I have Rushing Fall on top over Daddy is a Legend.
Outstanding.
And Muta Sadur in the Gold Cup today.
People have been saying,
why can't he win on turf? I think it's the 2 miles that'll get it done for him today. I don't think it's a surface issue.
Fair enough. And anything else for today, Seth?
In the Gold Cup, I went with Araclawa, a horse I've liked throughout the career.
Outstanding. That takes us.
Make sure you're logged into Twin Spires tomorrow. We're giving 10 people $1,000, and you have to be logged in and make a bet when you get it.
Ooh.
$1,000 each. 10 people, $1,000
each. 10
and
people,
if it doesn't get claimed, it rolls over. So if someone misses it, $2,000 to the next person.
My best bet today may be the 20-cent pick six. I'm looking forward to that.
I think that's a great
idea. Yeah,
they're calling that the Seth Merrow. I was at the other day.
Perfect.
They're calling it the Merrow Money.
Excellent.
Everybody, this brings us to the end of the Triple Crown season, which has been,
I will speak
as always,
on behalf of the audience. I'm clapping now. You did a great job.
Well. Thank you. I want to thank Deja and Joe and KC, and KC getting better slowly and steadily. I want to thank Hammer and Jimmy Ventura, Satish Sanan, Nick Zito, Pat McKenna, Dave O'Rourke, Paul Matisse, Mike Beer, Nick Tamaro, Pete Fornital, Pat Cummings, Philly Joe, Seth Merrow, a surprise visit, and Ed DeRosa, and all of you. Back with you Monday to recap this extravaganza. Best of luck. My stuff is already up.
Hey,
there are some changes.
I won the roller yesterday.
Look at you.
There was only 24 people playing, but
you're unbelievable. No, that's take advantage. Thanks, everybody.